This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
All right, we ready to go. We have our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Riffer.
Yes.
Daryl, Ken started out the show saying he's just not going to work up an outrage over anything that he saw with Myles Garrett and the incident that transpired this weekend. Daryl, where are you on the outrage meter now that you've had time to reflect?
I'm just waiting for the league to come out with an actual discipline that's within the boundaries of the collective bargaining agreement. Whether you're outraged or not, a lot of Browns fans are not outraged, which is surprising. Well, it shouldn't surprise me, we'll see what the NFL ultimately decides as far as an actual number of games, because the indefinite suspension thing obviously can't fly.
Well, Daryl, the indefinite thing, I think, is so the NFL can cover themselves so they can say, all right, we think Myles is showing contrition. We will not suspend him into next year. I think that's all that is.
Yeah, no, I think it was just so that they could show that they had an immediate response, that they acted swiftly and decisively against it and deliver a strong message to the rest of the league that that type of behavior on a football field is not going to be tolerated. I think that there's a chance that the suspension could go well, could go into next season, and I have 10 games in mind, just throwing a number out there, pure speculation on my part. And then he goes through the appeals process, and that would then get reduced to maybe 8. Or it gets reduced to the 6. But the league made it very clear, Myles Garrett will not play football in 2019. And even after the appeal, whether that's today, tomorrow, Wednesday, when the official ruling comes down from that appeal, I think there is a 0% chance it gets reduced to a point where he actually returns to the field in 2019. So if they're including the playoffs, and let's just say for the sake of argument that the Browns make the playoffs and maybe they win a game or something like that, to ensure he doesn't see the field, that's at least 7 or 8 games this year. So I think that they are absolutely going to, you know, make an example of Myles Garrett here. Was it 7, 8 years ago, the ugly stepping on a player's head that we saw, and that got 5 games. Things are a little different now. There's more social media out there, high definition television out there, the 24/7 news cycle in that. So I really think that the league is looking to deliver a message here, and there, again, no chance that Myles Garrett plays football in 2019 under any circumstances.
The always dangerous Daryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Well, for Myles, I'm not defending Myles and his actions and what he did. There's several people misinterpreting it. I'm not emotionally charged. I'm glad that it was only what it was. From what went down, obviously, if it was a different outcome, probably I would be more emotionally charged, but I'm not. These guys are grown men, and what I saw Mason Rudolph do was still silly on Mason Rudolph there. Why no suspension on Mason Rudolph? Because I can't help but say this. If there were other quarterbacks in the league, you know, maybe they look at that a little bit closer, because I've gotten it several times where, well, Myles had it was a late hit and it should have been flagged. Okay, well, it wasn't flagged, and that's not Mason's jurisdiction. Just try to start ripping a guy's helmet off and starting a fight right then and there in front of a referee. That's what the referee is there for.
Well, I said it Friday morning with you guys. I'll say it again. And for some reason, people think I flip-flopped on this. No, I've been pretty definitive. Mason Rudolph should have been suspended. At least one game, if not two, for his actions, because he escalated the situation twice. Once, when he tried to twist Myles Garrett's helmet off, that's the first time. And then the second time is when it appeared things were about to calm down and Rudolph came charging at Garrett, which then prompted Garrett to whack him over the head with his helmet. So Mason Rudolph was not innocent. He was not a peacekeeper. He was not a bystander here. So why he did not get suspended, I don't know. Maybe the NFL was trying to take it easy on him so that this thing didn't end up in a courtroom with criminal charges or whatnot. I'm speculating there. I don't know. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. But if you're trying to prevent or eliminate violence on your football field, you would think somebody who helped instigate and escalate the situation would also be held accountable.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us on the hotline. I know we all are looking for a way to connect the dots. Is some of this anyone else's responsibility? Like, is it the head coach? Is it the organization? Do you think we have to just dismiss any of that and say, no, this is just on Myles Garrett? Or do you think there is a legitimate lack of either leadership with this team or something organizationally that has led to this point?
I think that there's an organizational flaw. Antonio Callaway didn't work out, so maybe we should stop drafting players like that. And also, you know, this is a team that signed Kareem Hunt coming off of what he was coming off of. Now, granted, he's allegedly been a model citizen since joining the Browns, but he ended up getting suspended 8 games. That suspension came down while he was a member of the Cleveland Browns. Callaway ended up with a 4-gamer. Now he's got a 10-gamer tacked on, but now he's not a Brown, so that isn't the Browns' problem. But, you know, they lead the league in suspended players. They lead the league in ejections. They lead the league in penalties. I think they're among the league leaders in personal fouls. They're the bad boys of the NFL now. The Cleveland Browns are the bad boys of the NFL. I think that that's the only way to put it.
Oh, that's some strong stuff there, Daryl. Go ahead.
Yeah, Daryl, the one thing that did mention earlier in the show is I said, to me, when the Steelers were having all their antics with Joey Porter, with I even used Hines Ward and his crackback blocks, which I said now those are all penalties. Those are all potential ejections the way the NFL works. James Harrison, I don't know that the Steelers had to go out and say, hey, we're going to be the bullies. I just think that's who they were. I think that's right. What those players are. I wonder if the Browns set out before that game, because I've never seen all the helmet-to-helmets. I've never seen all of that from the Browns. I wonder if that was a message that they are going to come out and they were going to be the bullies for once.
Yeah, and that's entirely possible. And I'm not saying that the Browns were deliberately out to try and concuss a bunch of Pittsburgh Steelers, but look at over history and everything the Steelers have done, whether it was Antonio Brown cleating Spencer Lanning in the face, or Colt McCoy getting knocked into next week and nobody called Mike Holmgren for your playoff tickets after that incident. I mean, the Steelers have bullied the Browns for 20 years, and for once the Browns, and I'm setting aside the Myles Garrett aspect of this, but you know, that game Thursday night, the Browns played a very physical football game, and it was, I think, the first time that I've ever watched the Browns just literally kick the crap out of somebody, and it happened to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, for all the pain that the Steelers have inflicted on the Browns over the years, the Browns turned the tables Thursday night, and you know, they played an extremely physical game, and I don't know if that was a message sent by the coaching staff that you need to be extremely physical, but it was different to watch that, you know, to watch that it was the Browns delivering those big hits that were sending Steeler players to the sidelines instead of the other way around, where it was the Steelers usually delivering the big hits to send Cleveland Browns to the sidelines.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Something that obviously went under the radar was Baker Mayfield and his game. His second half wasn't that great. His first half was very good. But I want to go back to something that he said in an interview that aired pregame before that Steelers game. Daryl, and I want to play this audio for you. Go ahead.
You know, the outside picture was, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. And we did expect it to come easy for us, and I think that's where we messed up.
Audio courtesy of Fox. How much do you think that they did not do what they were supposed to do in that off season, and this has put them behind? Because they're starting to play pretty decent football. Baker has been better over the last few weeks. How far do you think that off season set them back?
They started 2-6, so it clearly set them back. You know, Baker's five touchdowns, 0 interceptions over his last 3 games. So he appears to have turned the corner. The completion percentage is starting to rise again. So those are positive signs. And I said this after they lost to Denver. It's not that they can't go on a second half run. It's I fear that they dug the hole too deep. The Ravens won again yesterday. Nobody's catching them. You're four games back with six to play. That just isn't happening, even with them still on your schedule one more time. So you basically got to win out and hope that 10-6 is good enough to get a wild card. I don't think even 9-7 is going to be good enough for a wild card. So they, they put themselves behind the eight ball. It's interesting to hear those comments from Baker talking about how they thought it was going to be easy. I thought it was going to be easy. He's not the only one. I said they were going to go 10-6 and make the playoffs and win a playoff game in January. Was I wrong.
He's a young guy, and I know that he is fallible, and he's proving he can be fallible here. But this has to be something that's sobering for him because right now your head coach is still in a crosshairs. People have questioned your work ethic. People have questioned how good you can really be. There's no gray area with you. I mean, this has to be, if it's anything, it has to be a learning experience, no matter what their final record ends up being this year.
Oh, absolutely. And hopefully he spends the next offseason cleaning up, things within his mechanics or whatever, and whatever else caused him, to have this slow start, whether it's they need more time together with Baker Mayfield or Jarvis Landry or, whatever needs to happen in the offseason to ensure that they don't lay another egg like they did in the first half of this season. Hopefully Baker and company go out there and do. And, maybe this is a lesson learned, everything, from the Myles Garrett situation to, all these other issues that have popped up this year with this football team to Baker's admission there. Maybe this is all just kind of part of the process of an organization that's still trying to find its way from, being the laughing stock of the league to becoming a legitimate competitor. And, let's look on the positive side of the coin here and believe that maybe this is just part of that growth process, that maturation process for the franchise, and that maybe 2020 will be the year that they actually live up to their expectations.
Daryl, yesterday Browns fans got to sit back and watch the rest of the NFL. How much better right now are the Ravens than the Browns? And keeping in mind, the Browns went to Baltimore and beat them earlier in the year. It looks like they're a completely different team right now.
Yeah, it does. And it's as if that loss to the Browns, and it was a curb stomping. I know it was a 15-point separation on the scoreboard, but they got a late garbage time touchdown there with less than 2 minutes to play to make the scoreboard look a lot more respectable than that game actually was. It woke them up. It woke Lamar Jackson up. He's just incredible. That defense is phenomenal to watch as well. It's kind of hard to believe to watch what happened to the Browns after that win. We thought that was the coming of age victory. Much like we were hoping that, Thursday night's win over the Steelers was similar, a coming-of-age victory for the Browns. Meanwhile, they kind of went in the tank after that win in Baltimore and the Ravens. They just, they shot out of a cannon, and they've not looked back. So I think that the Ravens are going to run away with this division. Pittsburgh and Cleveland are not going to catch them now.
The Browns are still alive for the playoffs, though, to you?
Yeah, not really. Right. I best case scenario, I got them finishing 8-8 at this point. They're going to beat Miami Sunday. That gets them to 5-6. One of the X factors on the schedule.
Are you guaranteeing that? I wouldn't suggest it.
What's that?
Are you guaranteeing a win over the Dolphins?
I'm not guaranteeing anything. I think that they're good enough to beat Miami even without Garrett on the field.
All right, I tried to get somebody to jump into the stupid pool with me, and you wouldn't do it.
No, I'm going to let you tread water on your own on that one. We know what happened the last time at Guarantee to Win, and it did not go well. But I do think that they beat Miami. That's win number five. The trip to Pittsburgh's an X factor. Two wins over Cincinnati, that gets you to seven wins. Arizona's a much tougher team to beat than I thought that they would. And then, of course, they got Baltimore again. So at worst, I've got the Browns at 7-9. And the door can swing between 8-8 and 9-7. I don't think they can get to 10-6 by winning out, though. I don't see it, not without your best defensive player.
All right, Daryl, we appreciate it. Let's do it again.
You got it, guys. Talk to you later in the week.
Daryl Ryder on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Do they need to get to 10? The Browns need to get to 10 to make the playoffs.
I think that's probably the best way to help them, right? Right?
I think they got to get to 10. I don't think that's
going
to do it.
I think that's even going to be difficult.
So they have to win out. The Browns need to win out to make the playoffs.
And then you have to say, honestly, I mean, then you got to look at it and go, okay, what was this year about? Because I don't think you can get any mulligans. Can I use this year as a mulligan year? Where my quarterback is saying, yeah, we weren't. He's openly admitting they weren't as prepared as they were supposed to be. We'll bring that up coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. 216-578-0092.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.